Good morning. I'm reading this morning's passage, which is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I'm reading from ESV. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honoured as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. For you yourselves know how we ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labour we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Good morning. Also welcome from my end. It's great to see you all. I'm Matthias, a student minister here at church. So you're at a party, obviously with less than 10 people, as Steve said, 1.5 meter away from each other, COVID safe. And you meet someone you haven't met before, and he says, "Hey, I'm Jack." You say, "Oh, yeah, I'm such and such. I'm Matthias." And Jack asks you, "So what do you do, mate?" And what do I do? What do I do? Jack is most likely referring to what work? What kind of work do you do? Well, depending on when Jack would have asked me, I would answer him, I'm a student, perhaps at the moment, or I paint containers, or I work in a dog biscuit factory, or I pave people's backyards, or I work in a mussel company. The whole day, every day, I stand behind a conveyor belt and pick out rotten mussels. Or I'm a sweeper, I sweep floors all day, every day. Some of the work I've done was fun, some of it was less so. Why was I doing this? I had several reasons. I guess I wanted to earn some money. My dad specifically told me to get off my lazy bum. I was saving up for a car. So are these valid reasons to work? I think so. But are they the ultimate reason? I don't think so. Why exactly do we work? I trust today we're going to see that work is good. Work is a good thing. Work is God honoring. And work is obedience to Christ. Work is worship. When I was at church camp, I was talking with a gentleman from church here. He might be related to Christina, but I won't identify him any further for privacy reasons. He told me that for work, he puts his arm in a cow's backside, being a vet. Is that worshiping God? Our passage today says, yes, even that, doing that for work is obedience to Christ. Well, let's pray before we get into our text. Father God, we thank you that we can gather today. As Steve already mentioned, Father, it is a privilege. Father, we pray that as we look at your word, Father, you would be speaking to us by your word through your spirit, and you would be changing us. Father, help us to understand the situation of the Thessalonian church and what Paul has to say to them, so as to understand as well what you are telling us today. Father, help us to live according to your word and change us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've got two main points today. The church is a praying community, and two, the church is a working community. So let's look at the first point. The church is a praying community. Let's read verse 1 to 3 again in 2 Thessalonians 3. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly, Paul says to the Thessalonians. This is something we try and do here at church as well. Not only on a Sunday morning, like being here, gathering together, praying, looking at God's word. But a few of us meet for One Please God. In One Please God, we meet and pray for opportunities to share the message of the Lord with unbelievers. We pray for ourselves and we pray for each other. It's slow, it's hard work, but it's worth it. And God has blessed it. We've seen fruit through it. Even a few weeks ago, Terry told us that she's shared the gospel with a friend and the gospel is really being honored. So I might make this an unashamed invitation. I can't see far today, but I'm sure he's there somewhere online. But speak to Far or to me if you're interested to join our little group that's all about evangelism. And you know this yourself. Evangelism is not easy, and you need others around you to do it. We need to be a community that is on mission. Evangelism is not easy for us, and it's the same for Paul. It hasn't been easy either. There's resistance. So in verse 2, Paul says, pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. It's understood that Paul has sent the letters to the Thessalonians from Corinth. When he's in Corinth, the book of Acts says in chapter 18 that Jews that are opposing him and have actually become abusive. They drag him before Gallio, the proconsul, who's basically the premier and the chief judge in the area, and the Jews charge Paul with blasphemy. Gallio doesn't really want to know anything about it, and he ends up sending them away. He says, look, I don't worry about that. That's Jewish customs. But it may be clear, though, that Paul has enemies, and they're trying to take Paul down. They're trying to stop the message of the Lord, and Paul asks, pray that we would be delivered from these wicked and evil men. He wants the message to continue to go out, and he believes that it will. Paul says, men can be faithless, but the Lord is faithful. The Lord will strengthen and he will protect. The message will continue to go out. God will do his bit and we need to do ours. But the church community can't just be a praying community. It can't just be about the word and praying all day, every day. It has to be a working community, which is point two. We're going to look at that now. Let's read verse 4 to 15 again. Sandy did do a great job, but it'll be good to work through it again. It's quite a passage. Verse 4. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. Some people in the Thessalonian church are idle and disruptive. They do not work. Instead, some are lazy and very unhelpful. This concept was not new to the Thessalonians, or at least it shouldn't have been. So at the moment, we're looking at the second letter, but in the first letter, he had already told them. Paul says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Just take note of that part of verse 12. So mind your own business so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. If we want to be on mission, which is what we talked about a little bit earlier under point one, then our daily life must win the respect of outsiders. In the Thessalonian church, that meant that they needed to work. And it means the same for us. Work was not only necessary for mission, but it was necessary for the survival of the early church. When people who were able to work, worked, and gave graciously and generously to the church was able to look after the ones who were unable to look after themselves. In this manner, the church could look after the widows, the sick, the elderly, the poor. Work is necessary. The chapter after that, Paul writes again, we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Parasite-like behavior in the church is very unhealthy. These parasites would live off other people's income, and it has to stop, Paul says. Clear enough, right? Paul had explained it so clearly in his first letter. And you think the Thessalonians listened? No, the problem grew worse. Paul knew there was a problem in the church. He addressed it the first time, but the problem remained. So Paul gets out the big guns. He wants to deal with it once and for all. In these verses that we've just read from verse 6 to 15, Paul really points out two things. To the parasites, the people who are idle and disruptive, he says, stop being idle and disruptive, and instead go and work and stop being a nuisance, or rather stop being sinful. The second thing, to the wider church, he says, avoid these mosquitoes, for they will suck you empty. Let's look at these briefly. Number one, Paul speaks to the parasites. What exactly does he say to them? Well, Paul's main message is do what I did. I gave you a model to imitate. You need to do the same. In another letter, he says, follow my example as I follow Christ's example. And again, this shouldn't have been new to the Thessalonians. In his first letter, he said, surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We work night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. And again, he says the same thing. Paul points out that he worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that they wouldn't be a burden to anyone. They were not idle, they worked. He said, I always paid for my food. I worked, I earned money, and I paid for my food. I left you with that command. Remember, Paul says, if you're unwilling to work, you shall not eat. That's big, big words, right? Steve explained our church a little bit before. So this morning you're in a Presbyterian church. If you're listening online, you're listening to a Presbyterian service. We have quite a rich tradition. I grew up in the Dutch Reformed Church, and it also has a rich tradition. One of the more common traditions is that at home we used to often pray the Lord's Prayer. I'll just Luke or Andrew, Can I get my slides? Yeah, thanks, guys. So it's just, so let's work through it a little bit. It's in Matthew 6, 9 to 13. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. Note the line in the middle. Give us today our daily bread. Jesus tells us to pray, give us today our daily bread. How does Jesus imagine God answering this prayer? Does he imagine bread raining down from heaven on a daily basis? That's what happened to the Israelites in the wilderness. All the manna coming down on a daily basis for 40 years. Perhaps does Jesus imagine birds to bring us bread every day? That's what happened to Elijah. I think we all know generally that God doesn't provide food for us that way, right? He generally doesn't rain bread and meat down for us, nor does he send birds to us. I think Jesus knew very well that God blesses many of us with work so that we can buy the food we and others around us need. As we pray, give us today our daily bread, God answers our prayers, not by directly giving you bread, but by giving you work, allowing you to buy your bread. Paul certainly seems to think that God provides food this way. His point is that you work to earn your living. And if you earn enough, you provide for those who cannot provide for themselves. So to summarize Paul's message to the parasites, he says very hard language. In the name of Jesus, stop being a mosquito, sucking the life out of others. Stop annoying others and instead settle down and earn the food you eat. So that's number one. Paul's point to the wider church is avoid these mosquitoes. He doesn't just urge them anymore as he did in his earlier letter. He now says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you. Which really means with the authority of Jesus, we command you to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive. Not only warn them, but shun them, avoid them, have nothing to do with them anymore. Excommunicate them from the church. That's very hard. It's a last resort in church discipline. The Thessalonian church is told to avoid these idlers and disruptors so that they may be ashamed. Don't squash them, though. Don't treat them harshly. Treat them gently like you would a fellow believer. Nonetheless, this behavior cannot be tolerated in the church. A couple of years ago, when I was still with Rio Tinto, I went to a diamond mine located in northern Canada. It's very close to the Arctic Circle. I'll get Luke to get along again. Thanks, mate. Most of the year it looked like this. For about 9 or 10 months, it was so cold it would get down to minus 40. Everything was built so that you could stay inside. We would stay in a little room. You would go on to the mess, have breakfast, you would walk through a corridor, you would go to the gym through a corridor, you would go to the underground mine offices through a corridor. You could be there for 2 weeks in a row and never be outside. But there were a couple of weeks of summer, not like here, Queensland, the Sunshine State, but only for a few weeks it was summer. The sun would be out, weather would be lovely, the snow had melted, and no more ice on the water. I managed to be there twice around summertime. And you'd think people would flock outside, wouldn't you? Enjoy the sunshine, get a tan, something I think quite uncommon for Australians, but everywhere else in the world, people love a tan. Get some vitamin D, but we couldn't. We mostly couldn't go outside because of two reasons. The first reasons were often there were grizzly bears around. That would be people's full-time job. They would monitor the bears. The second reason were the mosquitoes. Well, the grizzly bear is an obvious threat, isn't it? He's loud, he's big, you see him coming. I'm not describing myself, by the way. Perhaps the bear is a bit like the man of lawlessness, which we heard about last week from Ovi. Now, a mosquito is different. He's small enough, but if it's enough of them, they'll suck you empty. They'll suck you dry. And believe me, there were plenty of them. It was terrible. Because of all the water, they breed like maniacs. It was a pest. Never seen anything like it. But in other places, these same mosquitoes, very small, they will poison you. They might leave you with malaria, for instance, or worse. So Paul has warned the church about the grizzly bear last week, but now Paul is warning the church for these mosquitoes. He doesn't want the church to get sucked dry, whether that's financially or emotionally, and he doesn't want the church to be poisoned from the inside either. The church is the body of Christ. And if one part of this body starts to rot, the whole body will be dysfunctional. So Paul says, avoid these people. Keep away from them. It's better to cut off one part and have a healthy body remaining than for the whole body to go down. It's interesting, though, that in our passage in verse 5, Paul says, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. And straight after, he goes on to tell the church to keep away from the idle and the disruptive believer. So shunning an idle and disruptive believer, which is that church discipline, is actually an act of love for them. It shows God's love. God loves us so much that he does not want us to live in sin. If you're unwilling to work, you're leading a sinful life. And God is in the business of sanctifying people. And one of God's ways to do it is by the use of church discipline. In this case, it is to shame them, but to bring them back ultimately. So we'll move on to the application. It's not very long. So what does that mean for us to work in a paid position? Well, work is necessary, and work is a blessing, but it's also obedience to Christ. It's worship. It's not a mundane thing, even though it might sometimes be really boring. It's worship. We're obeying Christ, so let that influence how you do your work. Second thing I think we can take out from this, Peter Jensen used to be the Archbishop of the Anglican Church in Sydney, used to be the principal of Moore College. More important now, he teaches me principles of systematic theology at QDC. He says that we need to define work in a broad way. The passage from verse 6 to 15 has quite a narrow application, right? It's about paid work. But he says, on the whole, we need to define work in a more broader way. For example, good works are part of work as well. That's what Ovi finished up with, the last verse of chapter 2. Good works are being referred to here. That is part of work. And prayer are part of our work. We looked at prayer earlier, the first couple of verses in chapter 3. So you might not have a paid position here. But that doesn't mean it's any less important. You might be studying. You might be looking after children full-time. Or after your elderly folk, you might be looking after your elderly partner. You might be doing voluntary things. You might be retired and not do paid work, but you're rich in good works. You might be getting old and physically not very strong, but you're often at work battling away in prayer. That is obeying Christ through work. You're worshiping him through these various means. Lastly, what is the warning for us from this passage? It's simple. It's don't be lazy. Don't be disruptive. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Paul makes it very clear for us this morning. Don't be lazy in your work, and don't be lazy in the good works God has prepared for us. Yes, take your rest when you need it. It's a blessing. Take your holidays, absolutely. However, there were people in the church in Thessalonica that had to hear this, that had to take this to heart, and so we should too. Don't be idle, and don't be disruptive. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for our time together. Father, we pray that we will take this warning to heart. Father, there is so much entertainment at the top of our fingers. Father, we pray that we won't abuse that. Father, we'll use it, but we won't abuse it. Father, give us wisdom concerning what we do with our time. Father, help us to work hard. Help us to be rich in good works. Help us to pray. Help us to be a praying community, to see the work, your word go out, to wanting to see unbelievers seeing them saved. Father, we pray that you will continue to change us so that we will become more Christ-like. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.